You may be seated if you would like, or you could stand the whole time with me. Thank you. All right, one person, Nick. Good morning, family. Good to see all of you here this morning. We're glad that we've got our visitors here as well. I know that it's already been mentioned. I want to encourage you as well to stick around. Fill out one of those cards that's on the back of the pew in front of you so we have a record of your attendance today. And just get it to anybody that you saw up front here. They know what to do with it. And if they don't, Robin will tell them. Got a couple of things to go through before we get into the lesson this morning of body life. A sure sign of life is the amount of things a body is doing. And how many of us have felt like June didn't even last 10 minutes? We were so busy during the month of June with different things going on, and July is just as busy as we get into things. First up this week, we've got the food pantry on Tuesday. If you are interested in participating in that, Bud would love to see you be engaged in that. Be here at 9 o'clock on Tuesday to help him out with that. After that, we've got the 39ers meeting this Wednesday for a hamburger and hot dog cookout. Ina has a 4th of July program that she's got ready to go, and just asking that you bring desserts and sides for all of that. I guess it looks like the hamburgers, hot dogs, buns, condiments, and chips are being provided. So if you were planning on chips as your side, plan something else. Thursday this week, 7 o'clock, singing at our house. And just as a reminder, there were several that had a little bit of confusion on last Thursday, and it was fun, and we had some laughs about it. But this is on the first and third Thursday. So on those odd months where we have five Thursdays, we're not getting together on those evenings. And VBS. VBS's registration is open now online. Amy Derwin gave me an announcement to give. No idea what I did with that piece of paper, so I'm going to go off of memory on that. But there's a lot to do as it pertains to getting ready for VBS. And so what we're asking everyone that is available next Saturday from 2 to 8 p.m., Amy is planning a work day to get everything finalized and finished up, to get every decorations going and stuff set up for VBS that's coming quickly. From Wednesday to Saturday, July 13th through the 16th is our plan. On the weekdays, we'll be meeting in the evening from 5:30 to 8, and on that Saturday, it will be 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you are planning on attending and you are not a child and you want to eat the meal that is being provided on each of those days, we're asking that you RSVP to Robin in the office so that we can get an accurate count, as Karen is doing a great job of already planning out the meals, the snacks, and everything else that goes along with VBS. This is for kids to adults. We are planning on doing an adult class during this. Life groups are going to start up August 14th, and we're asking that you go ahead, and if you're interested in participating in life groups, sign up on the sheet in the back on the table. We're going to get those groups set up as quickly as we can past that deadline of July 17th. And we want to invite everybody to stick around today after worship for our potluck. We have a special treat after the potluck where our youth boys are going to be leading our devotional back here in the auditorium once we've all had a chance to eat lunch. And it's interesting because I know that most time we do potluck on the fifth Sunday, and we decided that we were going to do it on the weekend of the 85th anniversary. And it's exciting to spend this time together with you. And I've found myself being quite emotional over the weekend. And I don't know if that has to do with just how tired I am or just the stories that I hear and the laughs and the smiles on people's faces, meeting people that I've never met before that have a deep history with the church here at Enterprise Boulevard, but 85 years is quite an accomplishment. And honestly, this whole weekend of everything that we've been doing yesterday and today could not have happened if it wasn't for people like Peggy Alsey, who is part of our planning committee and a big part of telling us what happened, when, where, and how on different things, or Delaney Nugent, who spent hours collecting pictures and video and putting together the timeline that you'll see today in the fellowship hall, or Melanie White, who took it upon herself to eat at every barbecue restaurant in the lake area to ensure that our meal yesterday was quality. Or Daniel Dryman, who has Our deacon of involvement was able to help get people plugged into the different areas and things that needed to be accomplished logistically to make all of those things happen. And to our elders, who saw the importance of remembering the time, but not just remembering the time, what we're doing, if you haven't picked up on the theme this morning, moving forward. I'm thankful to each of them for the work that they do and that they continue to do as part of the body. And it's easy for us to get wrapped around the excitement of the weekend of the 85th and forget that tomorrow is Independence Day. And while the lesson isn't focused on Independence Day, I do want to share some thoughts with you, some of them mine, some of them other people's, through all of it. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, Paul writes, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." One commentator I read this morning wrote, "This verse is obviously referring to liberty from our sinful state, but in a human sense, it is that recognition that we are sinners and we therefore need a Savior that makes self-government and limited government even possible in the civil realm. Thus, the first step to bringing a nation under the discipline necessary for human liberty to flourish is to first make them disciples. We will have a king, even here in a democratic republic where we vote, because all forms of earthly government are about some form of dominion. Someone must have control for there to be any order. We will have a king, but for those of us here today, we will have no king but Jesus. And both the government and the governed alike will be held to his standard that the laws of nature and nature's God. We celebrate this today. We celebrate it tomorrow as a nation, but we also celebrate it as a body who has experienced this freedom for 85 years. I'd like to give you some names as we get into the lesson. I want to ask you a question. Most of these people you probably won't even recognize or know, especially our young crowd. But think about this for a second. What do Shaquille O'Neal, Ricky Henderson, Deion Sanders, Chuck Liddell, Brett Favre, and Michael Jordan have in common? Every one of these guys you see up on the screen, I'll tell you what they have in common. They stayed around too long. Right? Each of them in their respective sport, they played too long. And in the case of some, they would go to a different sport thinking that they were going to be good at that one and then go back to their original sport and not do anywhere near what they were able to do when they were in their prime. And I think it was because none of them were willing to admit that they weren't or that they aren't who they once were. Right? Each rode the coattails of the past, leaning on past accomplishments, thinking that that was going to get them through. And what it ended up doing was only leading to embarrassment for every single one of them. And if you think about it, our lives as Christians are kind of like that too. Not that we reach a certain age and peak, but that we ride the coattails of what we have done in the past and not look at the reality of what's going on right now. And I think that we can feel like what we did in the past continues to define and fulfill our duties and obligations as Christians today. And if we find ourselves, here's the deal, guys, if we find ourselves holding on to what we did 5 years ago or 85 years ago as an answer to what we are doing or not doing now, it's time to reconsider what we're doing. It's time to think seriously about our Christianity and what we've been called to be. And think back to the scripture reading this morning, right? In James chapter 1, 22 through 25, I appreciate Robin getting up here and reading that for us, but I'm going to read it again just so we can all get a clear picture in our mind of what James is actually saying. James says in James chapter 1, 22 through 25, he says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For anyone is a hearer of the word, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Now, real quick, now that we've just read that, and you read it with me, because I trust you, did you guys notice that when James was writing this, nowhere did James say or James tell us that we were supposed to be doers of the word? Did you notice that? James doesn't say, if anyone is a hearer of a word and not a doer. He's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. James doesn't say did, the one who did these things. What does James say? The one who does these things. You know what that tells us? That this is active. This is what we're doing right now. That's what defines us. That's who we are. Not what we did, but what we do. That's where definition of character comes in. And there's a quote, right? That we all read Facebook, and every quote you ever see on Facebook is absolutely true, and we know that there's no error in it whatsoever, right? But there was a quote floating around on Facebook a while back, and it was accredited to Socrates. And when we read that word, we see that Socrates as the name on the quote. We're like, oh, got to be true, because that dude was smart, right? Well, the quote was, to rid yourself of old patterns, focus all your energy not on struggling with the old, but on focusing on the new. And Socrates did say that, but not the ancient Greek smart guy Socrates. He's a character in a book that was written in early 2000s. But I want us to focus on this idea because I think it's true when we start actually looking at what this quote is. I want us to consider the idea of focusing on something new. And I want us to apply that to how it pertains to our lives as Christians. Okay? Because as Christians, are we who we once were? No. We've been made new. Paul will write in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to read from you the New Living on this one this morning. But he'll write about this whole concept of being made new. He writes, we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God, who was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. From God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. You see what Paul's saying? We weren't right before, and we've been made new. Something new has happened. Something new, someone new is now created. We had no part in that creative process. That was all God. And not only have we been made new, we've been made better. Right? Listen, I have no problem with buying something new as long as it's better than what I had. And you know this to be true, right? You ever bought a new car? Why do you buy a new car? Features. Bells and whistles, right? How many of us remember the old window cranks, right? You guys remember those, right? The minute you started seeing electric windows, what did you want? You wanted that. How many of us remember a time when we didn't have heated seats? Yeah, and now you're like, I want those. We like new because it's better. Do we think that's any different with our Christianity? God made us new, But he didn't make us substandard to what we were. He made us better than what we were. And that's the point that Paul makes in Ephesians. Right? In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17, Paul writes, he says, "So I say this and affirm in the Lord that you no longer walk just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves up to indecent behavior for the practice of every kind of impurity and with greediness. But you did not learn Christ this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former way of life, you are to rid yourselves of the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you are to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and to put on the new self." Pay attention. "This new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness in the truth." It's better, guys. We're better. God did this for us. Not only did he make me new, he made me better. And if all we do is spend our time focusing on or even having confidence in what we did or was done in the past, guys, that's the first step to forgetting about what you look like when you look in the mirror. You've become a didder. And it's humorous to think about what James writes on that, right? Because how many of us looked in the mirror this morning? I know some of you did and some of you didn't. But how many of us looked in the mirror this morning? How many of us remember what we look like right now without a mirror in front of us? It's humorous to think that way, right? But that's the point that James is taking us to. He's like, listen, guys, that's how silly it is if you're not actually living as a new, better creation. It's like forgetting what you look like in the mirror. And our focus has to be in the present, looking forward to the future, but living right now. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7, right? Where he's talking and he gets into this thing. He's like, listen, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be people that come up to me and say, but Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? Didn't we do all of these things in your name? And Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. Right? You see what Jesus is getting at? You're like, you were focusing on what you did and you think that's going to get you in? That's a ditter. Let's deal with what you're doing now. Let's see how you're acting in the present. And let's be upfront. How many of us sitting here this morning want to be defined by what we did when we were a teenager? Nobody? I'm double checking. And how many of us are thankful social media wasn't around when we were teenagers? It's not about what we did, guys. It's about what we're doing. And the master is not impressed that we did something once and never did it again. Here's the deal. If there was anybody, when we start looking at it from the biblical perspective and all the people that we see written about in the Bible, if there was anybody who could have ridden the coattails of his past, it was Paul. Right? You look at what he says about himself in Philippians chapter 3, for instance. He even says it to us, right? Starting at, we'll go about midway through verse 4, where he says, if anyone has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Me. Circumcised the eighth day. Of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, Pharisee. As to zeal, persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. everything about his life from a certain point of view. Everything about his life could be used to promote confidence in himself, in his service, in his walk with God. Everything about it. And not everything that he listed there is a bad thing, is it? Right? Not everything's a bad thing that Paul lists here. There's some good things on that list. He's a Hebrew. He loved the law. Circumcised on the eighth day, tribe of Benjamin. These aren't bad things. But it isn't that that's not what Paul wanted to be what defined him. He gives us a view of his past, and then he moves right into the present. Right? When he says, I once thought these things were valuable. This is the New Living. I thought these things were valuable, but now I consider all of them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ. I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience resurrection from the dead. What was of value once isn't anymore. And do you know why Paul takes a perspective that what he was once is no longer valuable? Because he has been recreated as something new and better. And anything that would be compared to the new and improved Paul is garbage. It's junk. And we don't keep garbage around, do we? I know we don't in my house because every day Thursday, because Friday is trash day, we get a call to do a trash sweep through the house. Emptying all the cans, refilling the cans with empty bags, getting them in the big cans outside, dragging the big cans the 12 miles up to the road, uphill both ways. We don't keep garbage around. Why don't we keep garbage around? Well, it's useless. It promotes grossness, disease. We don't keep it around because it makes us sick, and we knew what sick was like. So it didn't matter what good things we did even then. We know we're better and more improved now. So we got rid of all of that. It's not valuable anymore to us. But what is value, where we find true value, is our identity that is rooted and seated in Christ. And we take that value and we live it right now. We move forward. And that's what Paul continues there, right? When he gets into just the next few verses, when he says, not that I have already grasped it or have already become perfect, but I press on. If I may also take hold of that for which I was even taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having taken hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, all who are mature, let's have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you as well. However, let's keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. See, it's not our job as Christians to rest on our laurels. Or to put it another way, it's not our job as Christians to rest or to stop trying because of what we accomplished in the past and past achievements. Paul's goal, our goal, to live out Christ in the now, in the present, is met by forward movement. Notice what he says here in these verses that we just read in 12 through 16. And notice how he talks about moving forward and reaching out to the future. Verse 12, I press on. Verse 13, I forget the past. I reach forward. Verse 14, I press on. Verse 16, I keep living. And that's really what it's all about, right? Living. Living out Christ's life today. There's supreme comfort in knowing that I'm not expected to live out Christ's life tomorrow. Because it's not guaranteed. What I am expected to do is live it out today. Reach forward to the future, but live right now. Live today. And the whole point of our Christianity is to point people to Jesus. When? Right now. Tomorrow? Sure, if we have it. But right now. How do we point people to Jesus right now? By being a didder or a doer? Because here's the deal, guys. To ride the coattails of the past means we've stopped living. And if we've stopped living, we've stopped serving. And if we've stopped serving, we've forgotten what we look like. And we have stopped in our fulfillment of the royal law. The elders have decided Boulevard's moving forward. As they lean on the strength and guidance of our master and savior, they look to him. That's the path we're taking. We're living now with a view to the future. They call us to have that same attitude. That while we can talk about the accomplishments and achievements of the past, and we can have those memories, and they're good and they're wonderful. Don't misunderstand me by saying that we should forget every good thing that we've ever done, okay? I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that what we're supposed to be doing with those memories is exactly what Nick said during his table talk, is that we use those memories as a foundation of forward movement of service as God's people. We didn't get to where we are today without people having that attitude. And we're meant to carry that attitude as we live right now. I'm ready to live right now for Jesus. Are you ready to live right now? Are you ready to act? Are you ready to be a doer? And this can involve several different things, right? You may be persuaded this morning to be a doer of the word by just initially confessing Jesus as the Christ and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Being recreated, something new, something better. Like all of us who have made that confession, we're made new and better. You join our ranks in that way. Maybe you've just found yourself resting on past accomplishments, thinking that that's what defines you. Don't find yourself in the same position as what the master was talking about when he said, "Get out of my face. That's what you did. What are you doing?" Let's be doers of the word. If we can help you with that, if you need encouragement, you need prayer, you need counsel from the elders, whether that be by you coming forward here this morning as we stand and sing the song, or you meet them in the back room where one of them will be there for you, whatever it is that we can do this morning, we want to encourage you. We want to do for you what Christ did for us. And may that be our attitude as we move forward in the years that God has planned for us. Let's stand and sing.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory.